This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room here at BPN Radio at Seismic Radio. Okay, we've got a series of interviews, and if you've been listening for the last couple of days, you will have noticed that we've been picking up some interviews from a lady called Iben Tranholm from Denmark. She works for the Danish Broadcasting Association, and she has got some very interesting things to say. So here on BPN Radio, you can listen to her as well, and we've got one interview. We're going to split it into two to try and make it fit within the time slots, and we're going to be dealing with this. Okay, quickly, I make this point very often because I don't know, you know, we've got listeners from all over the place, all over the world. I don't know where you're from and whether you've heard the Christian War Room before, and I need to make the point again and again. So we are not calling for a war against flesh and blood. So we are not calling for a war against people, but the Bible is very clear, and it says that once you become a Christian, you follow Jesus Christ, you are automatically in a war. And this is a war between good and evil. It's a war between the devil and God. It's a war against strongholds that have been set up to fight against the knowledge of God. It's a war against powers and principalities of the air. And these are all biblical concepts. When we look in the Bible, it talks about being a soldier for Christ, to fight the good fight, to run the race, and this imagery is all the way through. Now, what is the War Room all about? Now, the War Room leans on a concept which has happened here in the UK. Some people believe that the war against Germany, and I'm talking against the Second World War, was won against all the odds. Okay, it shouldn't have happened. Germany was militarily far more superior than England and then the Allies. The soldiers were hard-fighting soldiers. And some analysts actually claim that Hitler wasn't totally crazy when he started the war, you know, against pretty much all of the world. He could have had a real chance of winning this war. And there were just like a number of tiny things which went wrong, which had a great outcome. Okay, and one of the things which went wrong for the Germans was that the British could decipher all the communications the German had, and they were collecting a phenomenal amount of intelligence. So the Germans, they used a machine called the Enigma. They thought that this machine was uncrackable and that the communication was very secure. And they didn't have the slightest qualms about it. In Britain, on the other side, there was a guy called Alan Turing. And he had a few people who were working with him. And they were sort of concocting a machine which could digitally start cracking the code. And so they were working on these machines. And they, in the end, managed to decrypt a huge amount of communication, so that the Allies were were very much aware of the plans of the Germans, and vice versa, the Germans had no idea what the Allies were doing, or were very often fooled as well into, you know, wrong intelligence being provided to them. So, very, very interesting story. Now, the Bible says that as the servants of Christ, we should be as wise as snakes and without faults as doves. And that is an area where very often we fail in. I mean, the first one is, we are not as cunning or as wise as snakes. That's not our mentality. That's not the way we operate. We are too honest and we are too open in fighting this war. And very often, I mean, the other side as well, we are not without flaws and faults like doves either. So there are problems in both areas. But we need to learn to take the war back to the enemy. What's been happening over the last 20 years is we as Europeans and Americans, we've been living in societies which were dominated by a Judeo-Christian culture. And this culture has been unhinged for about 100 years. You know, there's been successful attacks on this culture. And now from societies where in the past the majority of people followed a Christian ethos, and possibly, you know, were even saved. And it would be very interesting to see in heaven, to see how many people in the 1900s, in the 1800s, were actually making it, were going to heaven, and how many people are going to heaven today. If you believe some figures, if you believe some statistics, the figures these days may be less than 5% of the population in the West of people who are born-again Christians, who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and who have been following him with all of their hearts, minds, and soul. What the figures are, I don't know, but I would be so keen to find out and to know what the figures were 100 years ago compared to what they are today. Now, we have a massive problem, and that is that our society is, for the last 40 years has been shaped from a society which was broadly following Christian values into a society where all the values have been turned upside down. One big problem is the problem of identity. A lot of people are no longer proud to be English, German, American, or whatever. So the patriotic national identity has been eroded and destroyed. I find this when I go, when I travel from England to Germany. I go through how many countries? I go through England, France, Belgium, Holland, and Germany. In the past, there was a sense of pride for every nation, and there's nothing wrong with that. So you would find a big Union Jack in England, you would find the Tricolore in France, you would find at the French and Belgian border some sign, you know, that it's there, and then the same Belgium-Dutch border and the Dutch-German border as well. And in German border, you used to find a flag for the national state, the 16 states in Germany, you know, like Texas and so on. So I saw the flag of my own state, North Rhine-Westphalia, and there was a German flag as well. Now, the modern elitists, one world people, new world order people, they have decided to get rid of all this stuff. They don't want any nationalism. They don't want any national patriotism. And they got rid of the flags all the way through. And all you see is just a little signpost telling you, now you're in Germany, and or I know you're in Holland or in Belgium or whatever, plus all the rules, the traffic rules, which are slightly different from the country where you were before. Okay, fair enough, you know, this is a new thing, you know, it's Europe, the new paradise, whatever they want to create, the new Babylon. But this whole identity thing has gone a lot further. So people have been discouraged to find identity in their religion. So we used to be based on a Christian society. Now Christianity has been eroded and is now, you know, the new religion which has come in, which is a religion of political correctness and tolerance. You need to be tolerant towards everybody. You need to love everybody, which is good. I mean, that's what Christianity pretty much says as well. But Christianity also says there's only one way, and there's only one way to God, and we need to stand for this way. And that has been abolished. So today you need to be respectful, and you need to acknowledge that there are many ways to God, and that all religions are okay, and so on. So it's like a very dramatic shift that's been taking place, and that is a big, big lie, leading people right straight to the gates of hell. Now this confusion has gone further. So nowadays people are no longer sure about what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman. I find it quite interesting as well. What I've seen in the West is that women have become more like men. So they're encouraged to work. They're encouraged to you know, to do jobs traditionally done by men. Yeah, dirty jobs and steelworks and you know, heavy duty jobs. You know, doing welding and other stuff as well. So there's been sort of a shift in that way. Whether it's good or not is a different question. Men have been encouraged to go into traditionally female jobs, so the whole nursing thing and a couple of other things as well. And so there's been sort of a bit of a crossover, you know, between one and the other. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, who knows? Yeah, some of it may be good, you know, to have a bit of a female perspective or a male perspective in different traits. But there's definitely been a shift. And this shift has gone one step further, where it is no longer clear what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman. And whoever has been running our societies has been trying to push through the educational system, through blatant propaganda, through the media, they've been trying to push a concept where gender is no longer relevant, and where gender can be a matter of choice rather than a matter of who you are and what you are. And within this context, there's now a lot of confusion. And you can see that the nuclear family has been destroyed, that the term marriage is totally irrelevant, and that there are many aspects where the whole question of gender is no longer clear. And we find that that now, you know, if somebody decides he wants to be a woman and he has got a couple of operations and legally is a woman and by law he's now protected, that's European law. Obvious thing is that, you know, if somebody has got a body full of Y chromosomes, it's pretty tough for that person to be a woman. And vice versa, you know, if somebody hasn't got a single Y chromosome in his body, it's very hard for that person to become a man. Anyway, this is a new society we are living in, and this is a new reality. And the problem is that the people are going crazy. They don't know what to do anymore. They don't know how to live and how to live meaningful lives and valuable lives. And we are having serious problems in society. Okay. How shall we tackle this? We need to look at the Christian War Room. We need to analyze what is going on in our societies. We need to have think tanks to discuss what is going on. And we need to present the truth as it is given in the Bible back, number one, to the church, to let our kids know, you know, whatever you are pumped up with you know, through the media and everything else is wrong and is false. And you don't need to accept this. You must go against this. And you have got an identity. God has called you to be somebody only you can be. And you need to find your identity and the calling God has placed upon your life. And it starts by the blatantly obvious stuff. If you are a man, you are a man. If you are a woman, you are a woman. And that is calling number one. Yeah, you are not something you are not. So it's very, very important. Okay, let's listen to the talk. I'm going to split this talk into two parts. So we're going to have the first part today, and then we'll have the next part tomorrow. You're listening to BPN Radio, Seismic Radio as well, and all the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the opinions of the management of BPN Radio.
The migrant crisis in Europe has exposed a crisis in European masculinity. What were the events that led you to make this point in the media?
It was the incidents of sexual assault in Cologne, Germany on New Year's Eve. I was just shocked to see what was happening, and what really shocked me was that all these women were alone on the streets, and when this happened, of course there were men among them, but when this happened, there were no reports about men, you know, trying to interfere, trying to defend those women. And it means that many European men was obviously not capable of doing some kind of, you know, some kind of, what do you call it, that they could defend those women. Mm-hmm. And I think that just was a clear sign that the masculinity in Europe is lacking and has been lost. And if you look to European politics right now, it's like all about inclusion, about soft values, trying to love your neighbor, embracing other people, open borders, like a woman that is, you know, receptive. So European politics is all about that. You don't see, you know, politicians defending the borders, you know, doing, maybe they could even use the military to defend the borders, but you don't see that at all. So there is also the lack of masculinity within our politics. And our whole system is sort of, you know, overtaken by feminism. And I think that is a sign of crisis, because in every culture there needs to be a balance between feminism and masculinity, and we don't see that anymore in Europe. So feminism has taken over on many levels, and this was just one sign that we are now dealing with a very aggressive male culture coming from the Islamic countries, and they don't care about equality and women's rights. They just see women as weaker than men, and mm-hmm. they are actually also assaulting women. And we have had a lot of other stories with rapes across Europe right now, where it's only like one woman or two women, not like a mass assault, but it's happening all the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, just to unpackage what you've said there a bit, because on this side of the Atlantic, we've heard stories about there being a so-called a rape crisis from the migrants coming in, but there seems to be a lot of loud shouting on both sides. From what you've seen, what you've been reporting on, is this crisis fear-mongering, or does it really exist?
No, it's absolutely not fear-mongering. It is, it actually happens. And maybe it even happens to a larger extent than we know, because it seems that many media, or there was some kind of, you know, a scandal in Sweden where media has been covering these assaults up, not to give good arguments to the right-wing politicians. So maybe there are even more assaults happening than we know. And also some women, they might be, you know, embarrassed to tell about being raped. But it's, you know, it's in Germany, it's in Sweden, it's happening quite a lot of places. Or there are other kind of, you know, violent assaults. So it's true that the things in Europe are changing a lot. But of course it is so political, and there are people who really want these open borders and the influx of immigration, because they're feeding this kind of multicultural narrative.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to cover up what is really going on. So there is this political battle going on. So the right wings are often, you know, being accused of fear-mongering, which I think is very unjust. It's not true, because these things are actually happening.
That are happening. And what in your mind has gotten lost? Because obviously it's not just, you know, the love your neighbor attitude, which is something that, you know, the Christian knights of old would have held as well. It has to be something even more visceral and something deeper than that.
I think it all comes down to the loss of our Christian faith. That's evident. But, I mean, today many boys, they grew up with no father in the home. They have
right.
no male role models. So the average modern Western male has been feminized. And because they have had mothers who was in the 68 movement, who basically wanted their boys to become women and to act like women. So they have no knowledge of many manly virtues, I would say, because virtue here is a very important word, because
mm-hmm.
virtue is something that our Christian faith was providing back in time, and we have lost that. So it's virtues like courage, resolve, self-sacrifice, justice and temperance and self-reliance, self-discipline and honor. And, you know, I think Islam has a sense of those virtues in, I'm sorry to say this if I'm going to offend anybody, but
mm-hmm.
in a perverted way, because
right.
it's very aggressive, it's very dominant, and it's also creating fear, you know. So, I mean, the Christian understanding of those virtues was also very protective. It means that men, because they were brought up with those virtues, they had the sense of protecting society, protecting women and children, protecting values, protecting their own nation.
Mm-hmm.
And this has all been lost, basically because we have lost our faith in Christianity, but also because of feminism. So, yeah, it might be universal values because they are truth. They are representing the truth, but it has been lost. And it has been overtaken by a completely confusion, more corruption, I would even say.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people today are just occupied with individualism, and materialism is not greed, personal success, and just profit-making. And you can't build a society on that. And that's obvious now what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, those virtues you listed, there's protecting, and you also protecting, not patronizing, as some would call it. But you also point out something that I think gets missed a lot, which is self-sacrifice. And when you said that, it reminded me of some news articles that came out on CNN just after a mass shooting in a theater in Aurora, Colorado, a couple of years ago. And the story was about how many, many of the boyfriends had physically laid on top of their girlfriends, and in many cases saved their lives. Their protective instinct kicked in the second danger hit. But you commented some time back on what you felt was a rather disgusting reaction by a group of Dutch men who put on miniskirts in reaction to the sexual assaults in Cologne.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need men to become women. I mean, we need men to protect women. And I think it's a very, I would always say, even though it's very tragic, a beautiful story that those male in the theater actually had this kind of instinct feeling that they needed to protect the women. Because what is real masculinity? For me, it is very much related to self-sacrifice, mm-hmm. that a man is able to protect and also give up his life like Christ did. I mean, right. we have this male image from Christ that he actually sacrificed himself to save other people. So this is the basics of Christian culture, and this is what we have lost. And that's why we see so much confusion and lack of masculinity and a kind of also masculine femininity that men really feel rejected from. They don't like women that are becoming too masculine. And that's also part of why there are so many divorces, so much, you know, crisis within relationships, because those roles have been completely altered. Now men has become women and women have become men. And, you know, it doesn't fit with our instincts and our nature. And that's why there is this completely more, even emotional confusion in Europe and in the whole West, I think.
Yeah, and you've hit on something important there. The values that are coming in from certain places in the Middle East, because essentially the prime characteristic of Islamic masculinity is conquest, whereas you pointed out the prime characteristic of Christian masculinity would be self-sacrifice. And there's an inherent difference between those two characteristics in regards to how men would treat women. But you're in Europe, and I can imagine that a lot of people would be quite upset with a lot of the things that you're saying, because you're talking essentially about a lot of, I won't say traditional gender roles, but you're saying natural gender roles, as in the genders are wired differently and wired in some cases for different things. How have your European counterparts in the media reacted to you stating something that, to be fair, would have been sort of a common belief 50 years ago?
Well, to my big surprise, I've got a lot of response when I was appearing on TV shows with this lack of masculinity point of view I have.
Right.
And to my big surprise, a lot of people agreed with me. I hardly had any negative comments, because people really could see that we have lost this thing in our culture, and it's a negative thing. So I was quite overwhelmed to see how much positive response I actually got. So I think a lot of people have realized that the postmodern project is dead and it's not working. The problem is just, what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are in this kind of, you know, feel, I mean, the consequences of this crisis right now on many levels, on their personal life, in their political life, and I mean, the whole culture is suffering. But the problem is just, what are we going to do about it? Because it seems also now, also with the Brexit movement in the UK, that there is a bigger gap between the political class and the ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of ordinary people are not stupid. They have understood those mechanisms as something is wrong.
Right.
But the problem is just that our political leaders has a kind of utopia policy. It means that they want to bring all people together. They want this kind of equality between the gender, people from different cultures, even religions. And in practice, it's not working.
Right.
It is a lot of division. It's a lot of frustration. It's a lot of turmoil. And it's not gonna bring Europe any good. So my suggestion is, and that's probably going to be a new thing that people would criticize me from, I don't know, maybe I would get a lot of positive response as well, is that the only thing that can save Europe now is to come back to our spiritual foundation, which is Christianity, which will learn us again all those virtues and all those values that we have lost. I don't see any other solution, because it seems to me there are no political solution anymore, because, I mean, people don't have any confidence in our political leaders anymore. It's evident with the Brexit movement and what happens in England right now. It means that people have lost the confidence. And I think that's also why Donald Trump is so popular. It's because
right.
people realize there has been told lies for many years, and they don't want to accept this anymore. So there is a big, you know, there is, I think there will be a big confrontation. But I think that if those people who are in this kind of movement against the political class do not try to reach out to something that is upbuilding, some kind of spiritual foundation, spiritual values, they're not going to make it, because then they really have no solid ground to stand at. And I think that's the problem, that they are in lack of those virtues and values that we lost when we decided not to conform our society to Christian values anymore.
More and more. We heard a lot over here of other nations demanding their own referendums in the wake of Brexit. What's your take on that whole situation and how it applies to these cultural undercurrents we've been discussing?
I think that that Brexit will inspire other countries, at least here in Denmark, in Copenhagen, where I reside. There is already a debate now whether Denmark should not have the same referendum. So I think it's coming, and France is also talking about it. Marie Le Pen has addressed it several times. And I think a lot of people want this sovereignty back. They want to take control, like the British said, over their own borders, their own politics. We don't want to be told from undemocratic leaders in the EU how to run our country.
Right.
And you could say that this is a kind of taking masculinity back, in a way.
Right.
I think to actually to stand up for your own country, to stand up for your values, to stand up for yourself, or even to defend yourself, I think that's very masculine. So I think this is very positive. I just hope that this movement, because I think it's going to be a movement within Europe, would come back to the real virtues. Because if it's going to be like this kind of superficial anger, or you're just very angry about the whole system, I mean, that's a fantastic energy, and that helps you to move things. But in the end, you need to build on something that is positive and constructive. And I think a lot of those nationalistic movements, they have a problem because they're not rooted in anything that is sound spirituality or Christian virtues. It's just like this, they're very angry about the whole system, which I understand, but it's not enough because it's also negative, you know. So you need to find something positive that is better, a better alternative. And then you need positive values, and you need to teach people those values again, and to dare to say that the postmodern project has failed. It has completely failed, and we see now that our culture is falling completely apart. It's totally collapsing. So what we actually have in Europe right now is a kind of cultural Marxism, which resembles actually the USSR a lot. You know, I started to call EU for the EU-SSR,
right,
because it's more or less the same. And I think what we see now is a kind of resistance against this kind of utopian equality of everybody, which actually was the same thing in the Soviet Union. Everybody has to be equal, you know. But there were some people that were more equal than others.
Right.
And everything just collapsed because it was built on a lie. And I think our leaders have been, you know, lying for quite a long time now. So I think we're going to face the same situation as in the Soviet Union in many ways. That people are just realizing that it's not so fantastic. Paradise is not around the corner. On the contrary, it seems like everybody is going into a kind of civil war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should look to what happened in the East and realize that this could happen in the West as well.
We will carry on with this talk tomorrow. You can also go to christianwarroom.com. And look for talk number 42, I think it is. And talk number 43 will be tomorrow's talk. Okay, you're listening to BPN Radio.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.